You've just tuned in to Thursday Night Talk. Tonight, Lorna Bryant is our host. We welcome your contributions. Give us a call at 826-4805. If you're out of the area, toll free at 800-640-5911 and to our text message line at 492-KHSU.
Good evening. Last week, KQED's John Sepulveda and Polly Stryker visited the North Coast and reported from the KHSU studios. What happened next was not expected. John reported on issues plaguing our community: homelessness, addiction, lack of resources, just to name a few. The community reacted loudly. The question now comes to mind: who gets to air our dirty laundry? I invited John to be my guest tonight to discuss this matter with the community's help. Before I introduce my guest, I'd like to begin with a statement from the KHSU General Manager, Peter Fretwell.
Thanks, Lorna. Before the discussion begins, I want to personally thank John and Polly for spending time here and challenging us to keep discussing our future. Humboldt County has gorgeous scenery, caring people, a strong food scene, and an arts scene well beyond its size. Humboldt County also has serious poverty, drug problems, homelessness, and economic uncertainty. Some folks believe KHSU needs to focus on just one or the other of those two realities. I believe we must acknowledge both and talk about both. We will never solve all our problems, but looking away from the problems will only make them worse. Homeless residents are residents, real people, human beings. So are meth addicts. So are undocumented residents. Looking away because we can is privilege in its ugliest form. John and Polly did us a favor by reminding us that denial and myopia do not lead to a better life for Humboldt County. Working together can bring a better quality of life for every person here.
Thank you to KHSU General Manager. Now to John. John Sepulveda is the morning host of the California Report, KQED's statewide news and public affairs program. John, welcome.
Thanks, Lorna, and I don't think it's going to get any better for me than what Peter just said, so I'm fine if you want to just call it a show right here and now. And I'm joking. We need to talk about it. I'm joking.
Yes, definitely. So there's, I hate to use the word firestorm, but yeah, a little firestorm was created. And I think a great way to start is a piece of the first clip that aired from our studios that you reported. Is that okay?
Yeah, of course. It's your show. I encourage you to put it, grill me like George Foreman. Go for it.
Okay, let's start with the clip.
A county that is rich in natural beauty and not much else. Humboldt's population is old and poor. The poverty rate here is 5% higher than the rest of the state, as is the rate of people 65 years and older. Drug addiction, homelessness, unemployment, and a strong dependence on an illegal marijuana industry are driving many of the social problems here, along with a lack of support from the rest of the state.
Ouch. That's stunning.
Yeah, well, you know, the facts hurt. Sometimes when I look in the mirror, I don't like all the things I see, both physically and there are sometimes my actions. It hurts. But in order for myself to get better, I have to be able to look at myself both physically, emotionally, spiritually with an objective lens, or as objective as I can get to it, and make the changes that are necessary. And I think one of the most important things there that I wrote was that the state is also letting Humboldt County slide. I think the other thing too, that on second listen, third listen, it sounds a bit crueler than I meant, which was that I said that it's rich in natural beauty and not much else. I don't know if I would say that again, and I'm sorry to the residents of Humboldt County as I listen to that, because it's not what I meant. It's not what I meant to convey. While it is true that the poverty rate is much higher, while everything I say is factually correct, I think that summation was inartful. And if I could do it again, I wouldn't say it that way.
I appreciate that, and I'm sure our listeners and our community does as well. For that to be the opening statement, I think it set the tone for people's, our community's reaction, and that's what happened. What I'd like to do today, this evening, is break up this program into four quadrants or four quarters, and we'll talk about what drew you to Humboldt County to cover stories. And the second, we'll talk about the process for selecting stories and how you came about selecting the stories that you did, and the ones that you did not. Then we'll cover the community's reception. And lastly, where do we go from here? And we'd like to focus the calls for each of these quarters to stay focused on those subject matters. So there are a couple of ground rules as well. We're asking that if a person calls in to make a statement or comment, to go straight to it. You don't have to preface it. You don't have to set it up. Yeah, just for the sake of time, we'd just like to roll right into the comment or questions and then go from there. And as always, be respectful. Fair.
It seems great to me. I appreciate the opportunity to examine the things that I've reported, the reaction to it. We're committed, and when I say we, I mean as the California Report, we're committed to Humboldt County and all the communities we serve. So in a matter, just the same way as we may have critiqued Humboldt County, we're definitely not above critique, and we welcome it.
Okay, so that brings me to the first quarter. What drew you to Humboldt?
Well, there were a couple reasons. First of all, it is a beautiful area. Trinidad is my favorite beach. I've spent time, as I told you on another show, I spent time in Humboldt in 1996 when I was 17. And it was a place that we felt had not gotten a lot of state coverage. We knew that there were some problems. I didn't realize that the drug problem had actually gotten worse in the 20 years since I lived there. But we knew that there were problems, especially with elder housing, and that's an issue that both Pauline and I and my predecessor, Rachel Miro, who used to host the California Report, that's something we care about very deeply. How we treat the lesser among us says a lot about us as a society. And in Humboldt County, we know that there were some problems with one of the nursing home providers, the major nursing home provider. And that was a story we had covered from San Francisco, and we wanted to come up and follow up. One of the things about our show that we really strive for is to not just like tell a story and then bail. We want to keep following the story because it's incomplete and it doesn't serve the context and it doesn't serve the audience if we don't. So we wanted to circle back for that. We wanted to meet you, frankly, and Katie, and Peter and Monica, and all the folks at KHSU who we knew your names, but we had never met you personally. We knew we wanted to speak to the journalism students at Humboldt State University, which we did. And we wanted to just get a snapshot of where things were going, and we thought we were going to do a lot of marijuana stories. In fact, the story I think that has caused the most uproar based on the letters, the angry letters and the messages that I've gotten, is where I interviewed a man who appears to be undergoing some type of methamphetamine-induced psychosis of some sort. And we started that whole story not actually with the man. We didn't just walk around. One person suggested we just walked around Eureka looking for, quote, a meth head to talk to. Mm-hmm. My first response is that this isn't a meth head. This is a person. And this person has the right to have their story told just as anyone else. But we didn't set out to look for that. Actually, what happened was we were talking to Sheriff Hansel, and the sheriff had made the comments about he said something akin to, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but he said something akin to, The Walking Dead in downtown Eureka, zombies. And I actually felt that if we didn't talk to somebody who was in this crisis and we just aired what Sheriff Hansel had said, that it would actually marginalize these people who are in crisis. And that's why after he had said that, I said I'm going to set out and find this person. And that's what me and Polly did. And so that particular story, that's how that came about. But the other stories that we did are all really happened organically. I believe it was you, but don't quote me on that. It might have been Monica or Katie. I can't remember, to be honest with you. But someone at the station had introduced us to a mother whose two daughters were unfortunately imprisoned in a federal prison because of their involvement in a money laundering scheme. And that scheme was driven by an opioid addiction. Mm-hmm. We had another story we did follow up on the elder care. And we circled back around on that. And another larger story is coming out of that. We also looked at the Justice for Josiah movement, which is a topic that you've talked about many times. Mm-hmm. And we also looked at homeless Humboldt State and College of the Redwoods students. And this is not just a phenomenon we're seeing in Humboldt County. We're seeing this around the state. And so these things were important because we saw such needs in so many different places. Humboldt County, as far as I know historically, and if a caller wants to correct me, I would love it. But it's my understanding that Humboldt County has never been a rich county, but it's always been a solid county. What I mean by that is economically solid until the past about 30, 40 years when we started seeing the mills close down. And we're now at a point in Humboldt County where I had social workers telling me how much, you know, a pound of marijuana is, because the whole entire economy is based on marijuana. I didn't invent that. That's the way it is. And when you have people who have traditionally, of course, marijuana is becoming legal on January 1st, but when you have people who have traditionally worked in the shadow economy, you're going to get the shadow problems that come with this. And so we're seeing a lot of still, where the rest of the state is seeing declining meth usage, Humboldt County, according to the sheriff, isn't seeing that. According to the sheriff, and others that we spoke to, you're seeing an influx of Chinese, Russian, and other foreign gangs that are coming in because of this shadow economy. You know, it was something when we went to dinner, Lorna, that we were joking about some of the people who you'd see on the streets, not the people in poverty or what, but I'm talking about the growers. Because, you know, they flaunt it in their trucks. And so this is something that I don't think the rest of the state was aware of. I think it's something that the rest of the state also has a responsibility for. And what really drove the coverage at the end of the day was letting the rest of the state know about what was happening in Humboldt, because not only does Humboldt County have a responsibility, obviously, to take care of their own and to take care of the county, but the rest of the state does as well. The rest of the state taxes Humboldt County. The rest of the state votes on issues that are important to Humboldt County. And it's not just the problems of Humboldt County are not just of Humboldt County. They're problems that belong to the entire state. And in order for those problems to be addressed, the state needs to know about them. So that's really the guiding principle we had that drove our coverage.
I see. Now, this is a personal question. You know, frequently our own personal paths will drive our impression of things. And you lived here in, you said 1986, you lived here for a short time?
I'm not that old. 1996, thank you. Okay. Give me those 10 years. I'm not 40 yet.
Well, guess what?
Not ready to turn yet.
Moved here in 1986, so I am that old, but I digress. So 1996, was that a good time for you? Was that experience a positive experience? And possibly could that experience, when you were here, affected your perception of Humboldt County?
Hmm. You know, that experience wasn't necessarily the best experience. I was a runaway at 17 years old. I had spent from the age of 12 to like 17, I was in foster care. Mm-hmm. 16, actually. And I'd moved up to Humboldt right after my 17th birthday. I started doing hard drugs when I was in Humboldt County. But that never colored my my ability to look at stories and judge it, and I definitely didn't go there with the intention of making the county look bad. And in fact, I think that my experiences guide me as they do through all my stories. Mm-hmm. But if anything, it actually sought, like, having the experiences that I've had helps me understand that every person is worthy of compassion and empathy. And that every one of us there by the grace of God go I. Mm. So if anything, it instructs me to really seek out a human voice. Part of the reason I'm a journalist is because I felt that people did not talk to the people I grew up with and hung out with and the people who I saw suffer growing up. And so that has more to do with shaping it. And that's not unique to Humboldt County. That's something I carry with me everywhere. But I could see why that, and I've been very open about, you know, the fact that I'm a recovering drug addict. I've been very public about that. And I can understand why people would think that, but if anything, it swings me in a way towards compassion, not towards trying to, punish or make a town look bad, as some have suggested in the coverage.
So there's no way that Humboldt County took you down that path and it's our fault and you're going to trash us as a result. That's not your angle.
You know, I was thinking of a way to put it, but at the end of the day, I'm responsible for my own actions. To the extent that I can control my own actions, which I really can't. I mean, nobody can really has total control over their lives, I believe. We are really connected. And I have no interest. I did not get into journalism. And I see this as a public good. I see this as a public necessity. And I did not get into journalism to trash people. So I can understand why people would think that. And I have heard that criticism, but it's just not in concert with who I am, both professionally and personally. I have no interest in tearing someone down or a community down.
Thank you. I appreciate that. If you are listening now, this is Thursday Night Talk. I'm your host, Lorna Bryant, and joining me is KQED's John Sepulveda, host of the California Report. If you'd like to join in this conversation, please call us at 826-4805. You can also call the toll-free number 800-640-5911. Or if you don't want to use your voice on the air, you can text us 707-492-KHSU. That's 707-492-5478. So, John, you mentioned the process for selecting stories, and you mentioned some of the ones that you were looking at. Can you talk about some of the stories that you decided to forego and not cover?
Well, there's not one story that we started off on that we've foregone. Mm-hmm. We do not forego any of our stories. They're like our children. But with that said, we are holding on a couple stories because we think they might fit at different times. Some of them we feel deserve deeper investigation. We want to give, for example, fairness. Fairness is an essential tenet of think of journalism as a stool. Fairness is one of the legs of that stool, and if you take it away, the whole stool falls. So we, for example, with the homeless student story, which is going to come out, we wanted to be fair to both the universities and give them time to respond. They didn't seem ready to respond, in part because, you know, for whatever reason, some of the local press were not asking these questions. And we know that they're trying to implement changes. And so we wanted to give them some time to do that. We also wanted to compare it because it's not fair to call out Humboldt State when we know that Cal Poly, CSU Long Beach, and other universities around the state are running into similar problems. So that context is important. The other stories that we have that we're going to do, for example, with Josiah Lawson, the death of him. You know, we had a 40-minute interview with the chief of the Arcata Police, and we really need some time to suss some of that stuff out. So it's not that we're foregoing them. We're actually digging in more, and we want to make sure that we get those stories right because they are incredibly important. And, you know, we really want to tell them in a correct way. And then there are the positive stories, which, you know, we did hear a lot. You know, one of the great things about the criticism that's come, which, by the way, I do want to just say this one more time as an aside. I don't know how everybody in that town must listen to KHSU because I have gotten so many. I've never, ever, ever gotten so many notes, letters, some critical, some not, most critical, about coverage. And I think it's something that KHSU should be really proud of and that the community should be proud of as well, that they have this resource. So that aside, through all these letters, we have heard a lot of story ideas about solar energy, some of the marine studies that are going on, stories about environmental movements, positive things on, I mean, I can't even keep track of all the leads we have, but we are going to follow up on those. Again, we don't just go into a community and then never follow up. We tell this, the story is ongoing, and it always is.
Right. Before the show began, I got a text from our producer, Geraldine Goldberg, actually, saying the top story with Lost Coast Outpost tonight is Holiday Joy. Anonymous local donates $5,000 worth of $100 gift cards now being handed out by Eureka police officers. Kind of a feel-good story, and I think a lot of our listeners felt that. You know, there's so much good in this community. There's a lot of bad too. We all, everything, like I said, when we chatted last Thursday on the air, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And a lot of people felt, you know, all you talked about was the bad and the ugly. And there was so much more good to offer than what we heard.
I think that that might be a fair criticism. And all I can say is, please give us time. This was the first trip I know about to KHSU. You would know better than I would whether the California report's gone up. And all I can say is that we weren't looking to write the book. We're just starting the first couple sentences of, you know, an ongoing chapter and chapter and chapter. So, and there is ton. I mean, you look at Josiah Lawson's mother, for example. She's up in the last night we were there, she was in the square of Arcata handing out coats to the homeless. This is the mother of a man who was stabbed to death and whose crime remains unsolved. If that is not the epitome of goodness, I don't know what it is. And she is not from that area. She lives in Paris, California. So, I mean, there are plenty of great stories. And we're not trying to gloss over those or look over those. But to somehow equate... To somehow offer some of these really positive stories as opposed to some of the crisis state, I should say, especially when it comes to addiction. I mean, it's not me who's saying this just because of my own personal, you know, history. Humboldt County has a serious addiction problem. There are more prescriptions for opioid usage than there are people who live in the county. We talked about some of these stats, the needle exchanges, things like that. These are serious problems, and they're having a serious impact, not just on Humboldt County, but today we got the news that life expectancy for the second year in a row, for the first time since the 1960s, second time since the 1920s, has gone down twice in America, and it's tied directly to the problem that is happening in Humboldt County, in rural communities, urban communities throughout this country, which is opioid addiction. pretending it doesn't exist and saying that that somehow is equal to the installation of you know, some environmental project, which is important. But it's not as important as asking the question, why are our children and our young people dying? And so, you know, we have a responsibility as journalists not to gloss over hard facts as we see them. And we have a responsibility to present them as they are.
As it doesn't matter how much it stings, it's still a conversation worth having. Why don't you, let me reintroduce. This is Thursday Night Talk. I'm Lorna Bryant, and joining me is John Sepulveda of the California Report from KQED. If you'd like to call in with a question or comment, please do so at 826-4805, toll-free 800-640-5911, or you can text us at 707-492-5478. So, you said you received many letters, responses. I know there was a pretty significant tweet stream going, or a series of tweets. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Twitter person so much, but I did check it out today. Why don't we talk about that?
Okay. I will wait for the question. Yeah.
So let's talk about the reception. Let's talk about from December 12th or December 13th. I think that's when the very first Humboldt County related story aired. Mm. What was the response from that moment on in terms of letters, emails, text, etc.?
There were a lot of people who, at first were very angry with my wording. I actually first heard about it in the KHSU, studio. Maybe it was Katie. Y'all were talking and it was, hey, you guys are really stirring the pot. We're getting a lot of response from that, and I didn't even think about that at the time because I was focused on another story. And then I started to think about it, and I started to hear it. And then Polly and I went to breakfast in Arcata, and the waitress actually was like, "Hey, are you John Sepulveda?" Nobody has ever done that to me in my entire career. I mean, that's a great thing about radio, is I'm completely anonymous, facially. And she was like, "I recognized your voice, and man, you were harsh." And I didn't realize that the community was so plugged in. So I started getting, you know, kind of those kinds of responses, but it wasn't as bad until I featured Mr. Gordon, who I interviewed outside of the jail, who had just gotten out of jail. And I think when that interview went, that's when a lot of people got angry, because at that point they thought that I had come to town, parachuted in, and was really focused on interviewing the worst, what they said was the worst of Humboldt County. I can understand that. I strongly disagree with that. And I don't view people in crisis as the worst. And I actually think that that's a very privileged kind of way of looking at things. To me, that's akin to when a politician claims something is fake news because they don't want to listen to the reality. You know, it's a similar thing. And I'll be honest, I got very angry after a while, because it just got, and that's where that tweet stream came. You know, it got to the point where people were sending me anonymous letters at work. And to me, that's very cowardly. I put my name on things and take their critique, and to send anonymous letters and mail, you know, that's just not my bag. And I do think that that's rather cowardly. By sending it anonymously, it allows you to, I think people act in a way that is less humane, because they don't have to be responsible for their words that they say. And so that bothered me. And that's why I posted that one letter. And did that tweet storm, as you said, And it was, I wanted to explain why I felt it was necessary to do the series of stories that I did. Because at that point I felt that the reaction was getting a little too, it was getting too personal, and it wasn't focusing on the content of the stories, but really, you know, just, it was just getting very ugly, and I'm not down for ugliness.
Yeah, you know, I answer the phone calls at the office, so I got a series of phone calls and voicemails and listener comments, and some stated that they appreciated you shedding light on this subject, or these subjects, or Humboldt County in general for the rest of the state. And then others were offended that you were airing our dirty laundry, and there's so much good. Why focus on the bad?
See, but I disagree with that statement. It is not your dirty laundry. It is our dirty laundry.
Okay.
I own that just as much in San Francisco as the person in San Diego, as the person in Shasta County, as the person living in Humboldt. We are in this together. And somehow, somewhere, we have forgotten that.
Well, there's, I've lived in Humboldt County this go round. I've lived here twice. I moved here in 2007, and I'll be honest, I moved here from inner city of Los Angeles, a middle-class African-American neighborhood, but there was crime, there was violence adjacent to my neighborhood, and the crack epidemic I watched grow, and crack users are most detrimental to friends and family. With meth use, it's an equal opportunity drug where people are attacked or robbed, whoever. And I didn't know that. So when I moved here, I was shocked. I had never been around or seen a meth user. So I tell people all the time, coming from inner city Los Angeles, where there's gang activity, all of this activity, I wasn't aware of what I was in store for. Mm-hmm. Now I've painted that picture. I'm a newcomer. I've lived here a week, a month, 2 years. I can't critique it because I'm an outsider. I've lived here 10 years now. I'm an outsider. So I think a lot of the sentiment that was felt and heard from our community is this outsider is coming in talking about our community, even though it's our problem collectively instead of just Humboldt County's problem.
I can totally understand that. I can empathize with that. I will say this, and to kind of talk about your life experience, I think one of the greatest failings of American journalism in the past 30 years is the fact that we did not report on the crack epidemic and the problems that it was creating in the inner cities with the same objectivity, compassion, empathy, and zeal that we have reported on the opioid epidemic. Opioid addiction has it's magnitudes worse at this point than crack. So there is the element of scale, but crack decimated the black community.
Absolutely.
And the crack laws are unfair and unjust. That's not me saying that. That's many Republicans at this point have acknowledged that, you know, who helped repeal those crack laws. My point with this is that if we had done collectively as journalists a better job of covering that inner city crack epidemic, I'm not saying that that would have led to social change, but I know that it would have, social change would have had a hell of a much better fight under those circumstances where people are being humanized and not demonized. So while I can't speak to the outsider thing, while I consider myself to be at my core a Californian, not of any one city, I do feel that I have a job to not make the same mistake that many of my journalism predecessors did, and ignore a problem because of culture, because of race, because of poverty, and because it makes me uncomfortable.
Right.
If anyone thinks that talking to someone who's in the middle of a crisis is a comfortable thing to do, I would strongly say that no, it's not. But being able to sit comfortably with that uncomfortableness is an important key aspect, because at the end of the day, just as the society is to trust us as journalists to tell them what's going on, to present both the good and the bad, I am trusting society that if I tell you what's going on, you will do something about it.
Absolutely.
And in this particular instance, I felt that the most important story was to put a human face on what was described as a zombie.
Yes.
It's not a zombie. It's not a meth head. It's a person.
It's not a Walking Dead. I've heard it all. And to your last statement about how the crack epidemic was treated, I'll say two words. Because racism. Unfortunately, because it was people of color, it was criminalized, and with the opioid addiction crisis that we're in, it's been being treated as a medical disorder, and it's being treated totally differently because it's affecting a different segment of our community. That's unfortunate. If that had not happened 30 years ago, we might not be in this position we're in now, just as you said.
Go ahead, Lorna. I'm sorry. I was going to say, I also hope that we've become a more understanding society. I can hope for that as well.
Yes. We do have a caller on the line, Terry from Freshwater. Terry, go ahead. Terry? Are you there? Hello, Terry. Maybe Terry's no longer with us on the line, but I do have a text message. Someone wants to thank KHSU and John for coming on the air tonight. This person was upset that the California report and the reporting, but thank you for the apology and having the courage to come on the air tonight. Yes, it's the highlight of our morning to listen each morning and to hear you say, have a great day. I tried to do it like you. I don't think I nailed it.
I don't think I can do it like you. Ruined your voice, your vocal cords.
Yes. We have another caller, Aaron from Arcata. Aaron, go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Lorna.
Hello.
I want to echo the words of the text message you got and to say thank you, John, for coming on here, because I was pretty angry, one of those pretty angry people with some of the words you said. But what I want to ask you now is, just maybe 5-10 minutes ago, you made a comment about maybe people writing you or texting you or whatever, asking you why you weren't covering environmental stories and focusing on, you know, stories of addiction and poverty and other things like that. And you made a comment, I don't remember the exact words you said, but something about that the addiction story was, you know, much more important. And I think maybe what you're missing is the connection between issues like environmental issues and the fact that we do have such a problem with poverty and child abuse and addiction and all the rest, because of some of the history you mentioned earlier, where in the past when we had very successful resource extraction industries, you know, people had good paying jobs, they didn't have to go to college, but they could get a good paying job where they could buy a home and, you know, raise a family and all of that, and we don't have those kinds of jobs in the quantities, you know, that we used to. And so really we're looking to environmental issues and alternative energy and all the work we do with that to not only heal the earth, which I would say is just as important as healing individuals, but also, you know, that's an industry in of itself. And Humboldt State University, particularly the Environmental Resource Engineering Department, which you might want to do a story on, it's a really extraordinary department. And so providing jobs and opportunities and a future to our residents, I think, is a really important way to give people hope. And I think that does address issues like addiction and poverty and child abuse and all the rest.
Well, I think you're absolutely right that the intersectionality between poverty and the systemic problems that happen because of essentially the lack of resources and, as the sheriff put it, a lack of hope. At the same time, I completely understand that those stories need to be told that you're talking about, and I'm glad, and actually I'm going to ask you, say that one more time again, which department? I just want to write it down.
Oh, it's Humboldt the Environmental Resource Engineering Department at Humboldt State.
Okay. So I want to talk about the Environmental Resource Department at Humboldt State, but talking about that first is like seeing a house that is on fire, but talking about the living room, which has really just been remodeled and really cool. There is a crisis.
I'm not sure
there
I
is
agree.
A crisis. That's okay, but there's a crisis and an epidemic that is clear on the streets of Humboldt County, especially in Eureka. And I think that is the first thing. I mean, that it is that intersectionality, the same thing that you were talking about with regards mm-hmm. to the causes of, the poverty and this, that. Well, how are you going to attract the resources to, say, Arcata, to support whatever might spin off from this department, if people are worried about safety, if people are worried that their kids are going to succumb to one of the highest addiction rates in the state, if people are worried that they can't take their part, go to the parks without stepping on needles? Those were all concerns that I heard from adults.
Oh, sure.
Who are living.
They're major concerns,
right.
But those issues are always going to be there, and they're there in many other communities, small and large. Mm. But I think exactly what you said, the intersectionality is what's key, and I think that's why people were so upset at, your initial take, at least through the presentation on the California report, your initial take was, seemed so one-sided. Another thing you might want to check out is the Blue Lake Rancheria, because they have a really extraordinary program there of using alternative energy. And, that's one of our local tribes. And that entire casino out there is run on alternative energy, and they're doing some amazing work out there. And, when you talk about communities that are really struggling, of course, the Native American communities are struggling mightily. Again, looking back at historical reasons for that, those historical reasons, when your ancestors are massacred right and left, that has a life that goes beyond one generation. So, again, I think the issues are, they are more complex. I don't think you can just talk about addiction in isolation. I think you have to look at why. And I think in many ways, Humboldt County, due to the size, but also due to the very complex history of this area, is kind of a perfect place to explore the complexity and their intersectionality of these issues.
Yeah. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron, for your call and your comment.
Absolutely.
We do have another caller, Terry from Freshwater. Terry, are you there now?
I am here. Can you hear me?
We can. Thank you.
Well, listen, so much of what I wanted to say, I wake up to the California report every day, and it was so nice when I knew that John and crew were going to be up here, and I was so disturbed at first. In fact, Lorna, I called you on Thursday when you were going to have John on the magazine, just saying, I've got all these concerns, and I thought, why do I live in Humboldt, and I have all these good reasons. But really, the stuff that I've listed down here to talk to has been very, very well covered, and I very much appreciate John's explanation of, coming in and looking at the elephant in the room, and there are many other things here. There's KHSU, there's Humboldt Bay, all of these things that we're so proud of, and we, at any rate, I don't really need to say any more. I'm just really, I'm very pleased that you've had this program. Thanks, Lorna. Thanks, John.
Thank you, Terry.
I really appreciate it, yeah.
So I have another text message. It says, I want to say thank you to John Sepulveda for the reporting he did on our county. It may not be pretty, but it's the truth. This county has a real issue, and with honesty, facing its racism, poverty, homelessness, and addiction epidemic, even when it's in our faces daily. The only way we make life better for us all is to face our issues head on and honestly as a community. So I appreciate the reporting, and I hope that more people can see the value of these stories. I also encourage you to continue to dig deeper into the murder case of David Josiah Lawson. His story needs to be heard, and the more attention it is given, hopefully the closer the family will be to receiving justice. Justice for Josiah.
I'm appreciative of that. I'm appreciative of the criticism as well. And Lorna, I'm worried about your phone bill because you get more texts than anyone else I know. people texting you, telling you what's on their mind.
Thank goodness my personal number is not public. This is a text line for for KHSU solely. Adding to the statement that I just read, she ended with no apology necessary for your honest, compassionate reporting. And that's from Rachel from Lolita. Thank you, Rachel.
Thanks, Rachel.
So, you know, I hear all of the back and forth talk about, you know, you went to Earl Gordon just coming out of the jail. But guess what? Mm-hmm. Everybody knows Earl Gordon's name now. We may not know his face, but we know his name because you gave a face or a name to a nameless person who our community probably largely overlooks. That's not a bad thing.
You know what? I've gotten some criticism, actually. My partner talked to me about this, and she had concerns about whether or not we should use his name, whether or not it was exploitative. I mean, we really wrestled with that tape and how we presented it, because we understand that this was a person in a crisis. So I go back and forth on it because, again, it is about compassion and empathy and the fact that this is a person. So I don't know. I don't know if it was the right thing. I don't think I'll ever know about that. I know that I feel that the story is true, and I feel that the story is factual. Could I have presented it differently? Probably. Would that have been better? Maybe. Was what I did ethical? Yes. Am I still concerned that I could have done it better and somehow, I don't know, just been more considerate? Yes. So, I mean, this is something that I struggle with, but it's not just this particular story. It's any story dealing with somebody who's clearly so vulnerable.
Right. And we're our own best critics. I critique myself whenever I'm on the air, so I understand that. But, you know, the air of, the question of Earl being, or his plight being sensationalized, has come up quite a bit. But I got a call from someone saying, wow, I know Earl. He was a customer of mine, and I thought he was dead. So it's good to know that he's still alive. Even if he's still in crisis, that person was happy to know he's still living.
I'm actually getting kind of emotional thinking about it. Please forgive me. I've been up a long time, and I'm thinking about his face. And I'll say this, that there was tape that could have been used that would have been quote unquote more sensational. And I'm not saying that to be like, look how cool we are at all. We were very judicious in the tape we used and the details we used. And I'll leave it at that. But this is where it comes down to trust, right? Part of the reason that I'm coming on the show is because I want to be able to tell people my thought process behind it so that they can judge it for themselves. And if they still think I'm, you know, a son of a gun, then whatever. That's life. But at least they know that I'm trying to be transparent, because at the end of the day, they have to trust that I'm telling them whatever the story is to the best of my ability, and I'm not trying to either sensationalize it or politicize it or any of those things. And I need to trust, conversely, that the community is going to do something about it. And I think that this dialogue that you are facilitating is helping establish that trust on both ends.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think now is a good time to transition to where do we go from here. We have about 8 minutes left in the program, so if you want to get in for a comment or a question, albeit brief, please do so by calling 826-4805 or 800-640-5911, or you can text 707-492-5478. So, John, 4th and 5th Streets and Broadway are basically the main arteries between Arcata and Eureka along the corridor. It's a freeway, and it dumps out into the city. So it's right before us. We can see what goes on day and night, and we want to invite people into our community to live, for tourism, but we see this right here. So maybe it's time to start fixing what we see instead of complaining about someone talking about it. And when I say fixing, I don't mean create a bypass from Kmart at the south end of Eureka to Target on the north end of Eureka, but instead find the Earl and try to offer help.
And I believe that it's not for me to tell you what you as a community should do, but I do feel a responsibility to continue to come to tell those stories. And to talk about it as things happen, not just with the Earl Gordons of Eureka, but with other things too, the research centers or, again, the environmental work. So I just want the people who are listening to know that the California Report is committed, as we have with all the other stations we visited, with continuing to follow up and continuing to revisit, whether you all like it or not, we are coming back. I just want people to know that it's not for us to say what should be done, but we do plan on following things as they develop.
We appreciate that, John. There is another caller.
That's me, I'm on.
Sandra or Sandra from Eureka?
Yes. Thanks. I love the California Report, and I appreciate the work that John did. I didn't hear every single story, but I heard two of them, and Humboldt County, and I thought they were very well done. And I know that some people think it's negative, you know, but I thought they were there was very good to focus on the tough issues here in Humboldt County. I'm a nurse, and we see doctors that come up here looking for a beautiful place to hike and ride bikes and be happy, and they flee because they can't. They don't want to, you know, live in a place like Eureka because it's so so many homeless people and so many beggars in Arcata, and the beautiful plaza being full of beggars. I came up to Humboldt County and lived in by Chevette, and was a student at CR for quite a long time, and would take showers at the Fisherman's Pavilion years ago, back when everyone was poor and everyone was driving a car that barely ran. And my Indian friends took me in, and I fished in Hoopaw. And I hope that John comes back and focuses on, you know, some of the racial issues even more, like what's going on in Hoopa and Lolita and the incredible, way that people are taken advantage of by these casinos that come in, and they're not that great for the community or all any of us. But anyway, there's a lot of issues here, and I'm really glad and proud of John Sepulveda's coverage, as well as I hope he comes back and enjoys this beautiful, beautiful, wonderful area. Thank you.
Thank you for your call, Sandra. So we got a text from Baja California, Mexico. Thank you for this brave show. Concerned that the data points are limited. The sheriff and those suffering from addiction, meth challenges. Have not heard tonight, but maybe covered other moments about data from Humboldt County Health Officer or Department of Health and Human Services or an epidemiologist. The truth has many angles, and therefore the story has many angles. This is very, very true.
Amen. Yeah. And we, it's not just with Humboldt County, with every single story. There is never enough time. Ever, ever, ever enough time. And again, that's where the trust has to come in, that we have 6 minutes and 50 seconds for the California report. That's the actual time we have to report per show. So we have to squeeze a lot in. Just like in this hour, I mean, I could talk to you all for another two. I would love to, like, just open the phone lines and hear what should we be covering? Time is a real joy kill sometimes.
Well, maybe we should create a hashtag, What's Good with Humboldt.
Like that. That's a good idea, yeah.
What's Good with Humboldt, and send a tweet to John Sepulveda or KHSU. What's your Twitter handle, John?
I'm at John LGC, and I encourage people to tweet me, both constructively and critically. I think it's important.
And you can tweet us at KHSU905. There's one more text. Hi, Lorna and John. Dan Barton here. I've lived here for 4 years, and I've lived in Arcata for 2. And I think John's stories were everything we don't say about our community. Thanks to him for honest reporting. I'm impressed with John's previous coverage with OPB. Of Burns, yet another community I lived in, and I think the tough thing for him to do next is help draw attention to the people and organizations working for solutions. And I think that's the key, John. You brought, you shined a light on our problems. Now, what is Humboldt County going to do to help solve them?
And we're going to be looking to help facilitate those conversations, too. I don't know what that's going to sound like or what shape that will take, but, the texter was referencing work done in Burns, Oregon. I know we just have a few minutes, but even after that reporting was done, we really sought out, other stories about people trying to make things work in rural communities, people addressing, the problems that were in Burns. And we'll do the same for not just Humboldt, but everywhere in California where we can. We sure as hell can't solve everything, and I don't think it's our job as journalists to do so, but we damn well better cover the story as people try to solve it themselves.
Absolutely.
And we have that responsibility. I know we only have like a couple seconds left. I want to thank an anonymous person. You mentioned the fact that I lived in Eureka. Some 20 years ago, one of the nicest things anyone has ever done for me, my car broke down. I drove a garbage heap, and an anonymous man in front of the Wendy's on 4th Street in Eureka bought me an alternator and showed me how to install it so that my car would run. I don't know who this person is. I never got his name. But it was one of the kindest, nicest gestures that ever happened, and it happened in Eureka, so I'm grateful for that.
And that is part of the beauty of Humboldt County. That's a perfect way to end this conversation. John, thank you for joining me this evening. And one takeaway from tonight's conversation, let's not shoot the messenger. Instead, let's heed the call. Let's be kind to each other and say words with a smile. John, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me, Lorna. Anytime, by the way. And yes. I hope to come back soon.